The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Say that again.
Yeah.
Weed helped me get into comedy. I mean, it was like the people I started hanging out with after I started smoking weed were like more fun and were into like more cerebral stuff.
Willing to go down some silly wormholes.
Yeah, like Mr. Show, I could watch Mr. We found a Mr. Show DVDs.
Yeah.
And that was one weekend where we were just like, oh, we watched the first episode and my friend paused it and he was like, we need to get some pot. And where I was like, oh, you're my good friend now.
That's so funny that you referenced them, because I used to watch Mr. Show when it came out in the mid to late 90s when I wasn't smoking weed. And I was like, eh, I wasn't impressed. And then I revisited it about 10 years later when I did start smoking weed. And I was like, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen.
It was the things they said and did. It was just like, I was like, it made me feel better. And then like, I think Roy Scovel posted that CD he found when he was moving.
Of, Shut Up, You Fucking Baby.
Yeah, that was, I got that around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he, as a Southern person, was like calling out these people I already didn't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the fucking rednecks and that stuff. And I was like, oh, good. Yeah, I hate them too.
About the bit about him being at a music festival and he's at the beer tent.
I don't know, faggot.
It's like, I don't know, faggot.
Yeah.
He's like,
that would be like if I had a dick in my mouth. I was like, that seems like an okay thing to say. Yeah, ugh. It was just like that kind of like vitriol towards rednecks and that type of person. I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, well, him and Patton Oswalt doesn't fall into that category. But
how come
him
you
and Patton
guys are the
Oswalt
ones who stoned, but I'm the one who tied my mic cord in a knot?
Those were the two that got me. Because I'd always loved stand-up, but to me, stand-up was always, you know, Carlin and Seinfeld and like the ones that were like super mainstream. But then
when set up punch kind
of
too.
In my late 20s, I got into David Cross and Patton Oswalt and those folks, and I was like, oh shit, okay, you can come at it from a different angle.
Yeah,
more interesting angle.
Like, I don't have a wife or kids, so I mean, I understand what jokes are and I understand why that joke works, but I don't relate to this material at all.
I liked clever jokes. Mm-hmm. I remember, and that was probably around the time I also, because I worked on campus. I got one of those on-campus jobs, and it was in the, they're like, you should work in computers. And I was like, no. And they're like, no. You go put and install the computers in the labs. And I was like, oh, I'm good at shapes. I can put shapes in shapes.
Yeah, this goes there.
Yeah, it was like, there's a hexagon that goes in that plug. But then, like,
trust me, it's very manual labor.
It
don't
was,
worry.
It's exactly, yes. I was like, oh, I can do that. And then I learned how computers work, because it's like some people knew how. And they got me into Napster really early on. But we used the university's stuff, which was like very high power. So we're just downloading crazy amounts of shit. And I found Hedberg on there.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And he was like this secret thing where I was like, before he was on TV or anything, and I was like, this is the funny
shit.
That's
just saying, like,
heard.
This guy doesn't, I don't think he, I don't think he's in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
These are just like weirdos' thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody pushed him in front of a microphone.
Yeah, what's he doing here?
Yes, it was like, and then the things he would say, you know, and you would just get stoned and think about him. You're like if carrots got you drunk, rabbits would be fucked up.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I love him.
And it's like Stephen Wright was still like, yeah, you're a comedian. They're that guy.
Yes.
In comedy.
Yes.
But Hedberg was kind of like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I should say this because it could be embarrassing.
Yes. Yeah, it was like the crazy guy at open mic got good.
Yeah, that guy's called Hannibal right now.
That's what I've heard that too, yeah.
I was in Chicago, and I Hannibal was kind of bouncing around, and I was like, I was coming back. Like, so who's doing good now? Like, Hannibal got real good. Like, fucking Hannibal? He was just like, he was like Hedberg, but it was always like, man, what if Barack Obama? So like, who was, like, forget whoever, like, at that time, it wasn't even, it was like, what if anybody smoked weed? Like, that was his thing.
That was his thing?
What if anybody smoked weed?
And now he's very famous.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
and he's great. And then you're
yeah, he is great. Yeah.
But then you're like, oh, and you opened a tech center, I don't know the exact details of it, but like a tech center for inner city youth to come and learn skills.
Really? Hannibal did that?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He's part of something like that. It's like the people that got, for the most part, everybody that got famous of like, oh, and you're good. And you're a good person in the world.
Yes.
So you deserve that.
Yeah.
And there's a couple that slip through. You're like,
That's not. Oh, there's more than a couple.
Who?
Anyway, like we were going to say, we're going to out everybody.
What are their names? Well, that is the, I think, the funniest.
Joe Rogan, this bitch. I'm going to tell all the names.
Truth. I need truth at all times. Like, what's that mean? I like people that, yes, when they get a large, crazy sum of money, do fun, cool stuff with it. I think artists, that's what you should, I think that's when it reveals who the person really is. Like, when they get a bunch of money, they keep doing weird, creative art stuff, or they're like, no, I just let it sit, and now it makes more zeros.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, why a super famous person would do a commercial. Like, how greedy could you be? Because, like, yeah, you're going to do a Capital One commercial and make millions. Like, but then you realize somebody, they could be going, like, without announcing it, like, one day's worth of work? Mm-hmm. You're going to give me how much? Yeah, I can give all that to a charity.
Do you know what
yeah,
George Clooney
exactly.
did?
he did something crazy with it.
The Nespresso thing?
Mm-mm.
You know those commercials,
and when those came out, I thought it was a bit odd
there
that George Clooney was
those
doing
commercials
a commercial.
Are so fucking bad.
This is real. He did those so he could move a satellite over some country to prevent sexual trafficking from happening, to catch these guys doing this thing.
Really?
So he did that commercial, made a bazillion millions. And then put a satellite in this position so they could do this and get the evidence they needed, blah, 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 blah.
That's an amazing story.
Isn't that? That's what you... I mean, I want him doing that, and I want him also doing cocaine in that weird Johnny Depp fucking subdivision he owns in above Sunset. I want them doing both those things.
What? I don't know about that.
Oh, man. Johnny...
What's that?
Johnny Depp allegedly... Somewhere on Sunset, you know, around that Viper Room, all that area where those weird houses are up on those hills, was just an old Hollywood.
Is this the new Hollywood Babylon you're giving us? Well, you're spilling the beans on everybody?
I think if I know it, it's not a secret.
That's true.
That's how I've always viewed information. It was like, if I found out, a lot of people know.
I'm not blowing it for anybody.
Yes. Is that he bought this cool mansion that was so-and-so's, and then there's like a tunnel underneath to another one, so he bought it just because he found out about the tunnel, and then wanted all of them. So there's like four or five that it's in a gated community up above Sunset, and it's all connected underground because he like parties from like 11, you know, he's like a night person. So he just doesn't want to wander from house to house at night.
This is my night house.
Or just like, hey, we go to this other house, that's where the rum is. And then we go to this house, that's where the coke is. You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what I want movie stars like that doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like Danny DeVito still shows up for like morning interviews, the one who's like just shit-faced.
That's awesome.
Because he got drunk with George Clooney. Yeah, me and Clooney got in the limoncello.
You should
drunk
be doing
that. Danny DeVito drunk on limoncello.
What do you mean morning interviews? Like local TV?
Some TV thing. He's like, just still drunk from it.
Oh, that's funny.
Just the stories about him watching Danny DeVito seeing Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And I think it was just like, I like the show. I'm going to be on the show.
Is that what happened?
Yeah,
so
there's something
that.
Like, this is a good show. You guys are going to put me on the show.
Well,
I want to be on it.
He would he put money into it, though, right?
Yeah, but then it was like, I want to be on the show.
I think that helps. I think that helps casting.
But he was also great.
Well, and he's also Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that helps where you're like, hey, that Danny DeVito wants to be on the show.
Yeah, but he's funny.
Thank God.
That's why, like, you want to just be a maniac? Oh, you guys are all psychos, and I could do that too? Yeah, I'm going to be on your show.
Did you see the one where he, like, tried to hang himself, but his neck was too fat? And he's literally hanging. And, like, the gang walks in. Like, it's so dark. But the gang walks in while he's trying to hang himself. And
I love
and
dark
he won't
stuff
die.
Like that.
And literally, Danny DeVito is just hanging by a noose.
Was it a Well, whose alarm's
whose
going off?
Whose fucking phone is that? Is that the... I think it's the guy. Hold on.
You okay?
You don't have to pause it.
Well, he doesn't
gonna
know.
Go,
he
I'm
going
to go
know
talk to this guy outside.
Podcast.
But he can
it's daytime.
Shut his alarm off.
Well, all right. Okay, buddy.
I'm loud. He got loud.
Yeah, he's going out in your bare feet. You're going out in your bare feet.
You know what you look like.
Dave's going to fight. That guy's going to know karate, Dave. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Never fight the maintenance man of your apartment complex.
Or someone that wakes up at 4:40.
He knows all the martial arts.
He solved problem.
He's gonna kill.
Did you just go off coincidentally when you walked out there?
Yeah, you're gonna fight the Mr. Miyagi of your apartment.
You know, you gotta be a psychopath to let your alarm go. Like, I'm not saying him, but like, at what? How long does the alarm go off?
Well, you just
and
said
you
he was
ignore.
On a ladder.
Yeah,
fix the
I think
light.
He was like prioritizing.
No, I know, but had I not come out there, would he just let that go for another 5 minutes?
Well,
I don't think
seconds.
He know that we're doing what we're doing in here.
Yeah. No. Recording aside,
I think you're winning.
I'm asking, like,
if you're sitting out,
how long do you just
if
let
I'm
your phone go?
If I'm up a ladder with my hands busy,
I'm already on Kyle's side. I'm just saying,
he's at work.
Yeah, I understand that.
It's
maybe
not,
should,
if
maybe
you're watching
thought
baseball
about your
right
day.
Now and the Allman Brothers are playing, and I assume that's probably how you watch TV. Is
absolutely,
the record player also playing
baseball on mute. Records blasting.
That's just in my mind. That's how you did it.
That's exactly how
you
did
wouldn't
it.
Have heard that. He could have. That
true.
Could still
okay.
be going on
okay.
right now.
Also, yeah. It's a rarity that four people are in a one-bedroom apartment at 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying, had none of us been here, how long would he let that go?
Oh, I see.
Like, at
okay.
what point do you come down from the ladder and go, God damn, that's getting on my nerves. Let me turn my fucking phone off.
When you finish fixing the light.
Yeah. Okay. Depends
you don't
on
have
how
to whisper.
You.
It's fine.
I
was nice.
I think
no,
we
I'm
do.
I think so.
I was nice.
I think
he's
probably
nice.
Hear us.
Oh, man, I can't believe these daytime pot smokers all crammed into a one-bedroom are a annoyed by minor sounds.
Why do they keep asking that one dude how he grew up?
He has no idea we're recording.
Yeah. Why are they so interested in that one guy's life?
I think they're all going to fuck, but it's taking a while.
How weird would this be if there was no recorder or microphones involved? Like, hey, well, Billy, come over. Me and Kyle just want to talk to you.
And you're like, okay.
You know, we've been friends. I just don't know. I just don't know enough about.
What'd you do after college for 2 years?
How funny would that be? Just, you know what? Me and Billy's are good friends, but I don't know
anyway,
him well enough.
Let's all take our clothes off and get to the fucking part. Enough chit chat, all right?
Phi Alpha.
Oh man,
I'll show you a secret handshake.
Billy, you want to talk about
a whole bunch of dudes?
One of your famous friends.
That is a joke from my Live at Third Man, which is available on all platforms. I was like, they get you the beer and pussy, and then 2 weeks in, you're in a robe in a basement holding two dudes' dicks. And like, there's got to be a better way to network than this.
You guys thought about LinkedIn?
This isn't what you said this would be.
Oh, God. How's your buddy doing, Bill?
Which one?
Your musical buddy.
Oh, he's about to drop some crazy shit.
Is really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Such a fan, dude.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's really cool what he's done and
Sturgill.
The way he's gonna do what he's about to do. It's
yeah. What are you talking about?
I mean, he announced there's a anime he did and he's gonna talk about it next Saturday at Comic Con.
Because when I think Sturgill Simpson, I think anime.
Yeah.
That's why you shouldn't
That's why he
something.
That's
why
crazy.
He does what he does.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But he went over for the last I don't want to say anymore.
Okay, I got
like,
you. Yeah.
There's
it's
a lot
your,
of
it's not your place to to
promote his thing the way, and he I think has a way he's going to promote it. So I've just been privileged enough to see some of the final product and
Boogie Monster spilling the beans.
Yeah, man, we're breaking all the hot stories.
And if it's still the same thing, like
it's
you
like
and
the
I
shittiest
are in
TMZ
a thing on it.
What's that?
If it's still the version I heard, like you and I are in. A version of it.
I haven't told anybody about that, but
that's what I'm saying.
That's the coolest thing.
When's
that
he
will
gonna
ever
say? Is it Comic Con?
Yeah.
When is that?
Next Saturday.
Oh, this won't be out by then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, well, and he
but
announced
I mean,
he's done it. Like, so there's a press release. He's announcing. He's talking about it.
Hmm.
But the way he also told me because I ran into him a couple weeks ago, and he let me listen to stuff and see what they're doing and kind of let me in on the plan.
Mm.
It's. Because you have to do it. There's no set way. It's pretty interesting what they're going to do. It's inspiring when I talk to him because he's like, then we're going to do it this way. And you're like, your brain is cool.
Did you see the movie he's in? He's got a cameo, apparently. I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. I've read the scene. It's fucking crazy.
Dead Don't Die?
You heard song? There's another scene where there's another movie? He plays a racist cop that kills this person. And that's the opening scene.
Oh.
That doesn't spoil the movie. That's just the opening. That's like the premise of the next part. And then it's about some emotions.
What movie is that? When's that come out?
I forget the name of it. But that scene's crazy.
No, I think he's got a cameo in that Bill Murray Adam Driver.
It's not he's just a reoccurring. Music is a reoccurring part of the movie.
Yeah, so I knew the song was prevalent throughout it, but does he not have a small role?
No, I don't think so.
Somebody told me he did. Somebody told me he was a zombie.
Well, he might be that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Hey, look.
Yeah, you guys want to get back to this podcast? You just want to talk about something you might have seen once?
I've seen it.
We took a break.
He's arguing with me.
And got into Billy's hospitality. Not hospitality. This is my place.
Drunk, barefoot.
Billy brought over a joint.
At the Miyagi man outside
and
fixing
Dave
the light.
Dave hit it twice. Man. And then he's yelling at the neighbor.
Well, let's say,
I wasn't yelling at him.
Let me lead into... You're talking about the way you like the way his brain works. Let's talk. We chose a few paths. To talk about
DMT.
DMT.
I like
Panama
it.
Papers.
I did my special
on kinda, DMT.
The last part of it is like a little bit. The last 10 to 15 minutes is about a trip, and it's not even that long, and it's not about the trip per se, but it's based on my experience and what I gained from DMT.
Would you argue that everybody should do it? Like, I think everybody should do mushrooms in a safe environment once and know about that.
Yes.
Would you argue that for DMT?
I wouldn't even say that everyone should do mushrooms. I think everyone should do DMT.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times you done it?
Once. I might do it again just if I get curious. And I've been curious a couple of times, but I've never been in the headspace to be like, I'm going to go blast off.
Well, that's what I mean about, like, headspace. That's what I'm always curious about. And I understand that was the early days of being fearful of hallucinogens and stuff. It's like, because I did it early on just like, all right, we're doing drugs, and we're all nervous about doing drugs, and we're in an apartment, and this is all the wrong environment. This is not the, hey, guys, are you ready to all have a fun, silly time, or should we go into this being nervous and only remember stories about what happens to people that hallucinate, and then maybe they never come back from hallucinating. Anyway, we already took the drugs. We shouldn't have had that conversation.
Should not have
after we
about
took
that.
Them. And oh my God, the wall's going underneath the floor's going underneath the wall, and I got to get out of here.
Don't do mushrooms in an apartment.
No, I made the mistake so many times, and then I was hesitant to take them again, and I took them again.
I did them in that hotel with you. That was pretty fun. And you were drunk.
Yeah,
and I was tripping balls. That was pretty fun.
That's the Highland Inn. We shared a room at the haunted-ass Highland Inn, and he was doing mushrooms, and I was just drunk.
He was being drunk and fun, then he fell asleep. You know, I'm still going, so I just plugged out and listened to the Jimi Hendrix, the live one, the gypsy one.
Oh, man, the gypsies.
Yeah, it's fucking dope. I mean, that Highland Inn's fun to do mushrooms in because it's spooky.
We could wander around in there.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky, and if after you fell asleep, you were breathing heavy. And for whatever reason, it felt dark to me. Do you know what I mean? When you're on mushrooms, I was like,
like, look at the tides turning.
Yeah.
Oh, like I was in a dark place I was breathing?
Yeah. It was just like, the energy was just weird.
Oh, sorry
about
that.
No, and it has not. No, that's how many times I've done mushrooms. I was just like, well, that's not Dave's fault. I'm going to go somewhere else, but I don't like that he's doing that right now. I wasn't mad or anything. It was just more like, I'm going to go. And then I went and walked somewhere else and. And the floors are weird in there. So.
Yeah, there might be a cat wandering around.
Well, that's why the picture of you wrestling with that cat is from that night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you're on the floor wrestling with that black cat, and I've got a picture of it. And when I took it, I was tripping my fucking balls off.
I don't remember that.
Okay, good headspace. DMT,
what's in store for
an individual?
For me, when I did it, Dave and I were actually hanging out. We were in
Portland.
Portland at Bridgetown.
You just see Buddha, but it's Joe Rogan's head.
I did it with Shane Moss. And what happened was I don't drink anymore. And that festival is rough if you don't drink. Because you can't get stoned enough because everyone's hammered or on other stuff.
I was on my documentary diet.
Yes.
I couldn't do anything.
So Dave were just like meeting in my room trying to get higher and higher and never could. And then he was like, Aaron fell asleep because I got her crazy stoned because she doesn't smoke weed. And I was just like, keep smoking. She's like, okay. And I was like, this is my fault. I fucked this up.
I did that to Rachel once when we were camping. I'm sure going, I can't get out of my jacket.
You know what? I did this. This is not.
The closest I've been to having a child. So I would like, let's help you into your jammies.
That is what it is. Yeah. It's like a stoned adult. You're just trying to help do stuff. And they're like, what does this work? And you're like, you know how this works.
Just a giant baby.
Yeah.
What do these things do?
And then I didn't know what I was getting into. But he was like, it takes like 15 or 20 minutes. That appealed to me.
Yeah.
Where I was like,
I've done horrible shit for
a long time.
For hours.
Yes. And I was like, cool. And then my question was like, it's not like salvia because I hate that. Mm. Have you ever done that? Don't. No. Sucks.
My buddy way back when thought he bought some off the internet before I knew you could even buy stuff on the internet.
Yeah, you buy it.
I got salvia, and we made fun of him because he just got a giant Ziploc bag of whatever somebody swept up in their lawn.
Yeah.
And we still tried smoking it.
It's probably better than salvia, what you smoke.
Well, it was like, you just got to keep smoking. We're just getting sicker and sicker. I'm like, this is just a fucking pine needle and a maple leaf, an acorn, and a fucking Snicker bar wrapper.
Pencil shavings in a bag.
Yeah.
What did you not like about salvia?
Well, salvia is like if you go into the middle of the bad part of a trip where you're just like disoriented and it's immediate.
Oh, really?
To where it'd be like if we all hit it at the same time, it would all feel like we're sideways.
Huh.
And there would be like a weird weight on us. And like one time I did it and I was ready to lose my fucking mind where I was like, I hate this. And whoever I did it with was like, oh, I did this with Stanhope and he started crying. And that made me laugh and made me realize like, oh, okay, this does suck.
Yeah.
And then I slowly came back, and then it's pretty quick, but it's so intense and shitty that I was like, I hate, I'll never do that again. But DMT is not that. So I was worried it was that, and then I did that. And, I mean, Shane's a good fucking guide.
He's leaned into it.
Well, no, he dove head first. Yeah. He didn't lean. He did a gainer off the high dive.
Let me ask you this before you go further. I want to hear more about DMT, but it only does it for 10 or 15 minutes. Is that pretty accurate?
Yeah.
Pretty consistent?
According to the clocks, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you feel like you're gone.
But, like, when you're back, are you just back to normal completely? Is there some sort of
There's a
hangover?
Slow, and it dissipates. I mean, I got a little wigged out at the end, and Shane kept going. But I got and like opened my eyes because it got real intense to a moment where I was like, this is some like answers to some stuff in like the truest form I've ever felt, which is scary.
Yeah.
So you're just like, okay.
Did he put headphones on you? Like,
no, we're in the Jupiter Hotel. Is that the name of it?
You've
been there.
Yeah. The courtyard and everything for
Doug Fur.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I like that restaurant. We just put he put on some music that he had that was supposed to go good with it. And then we put our pillows over our head. And then we smoked it. And he told me you smoke it a little weirder than pot. But it was in a glass bowl and it tastes weird. So that's your
like crystals? It
looked tarry.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that, you know, and like he'd been smoking.
Hash?
Yeah, more resin than hash.
Okay.
If that makes sense. It was like darker than, like it was dark, it was like black.
Huh.
Tarry, not like brown. Yeah, like road tar, that kind of, but I didn't examine it.
Yeah.
I was just more like, let's do the thing.
Yeah.
And then it smelled a little weird. But it didn't smell like, I've been around when people like smoke crack or something like that a couple of times where you're just like, that's awful.
Yeah.
You're smoking crack.
Yes, there is that part. You're like, I'm going to smoke crack. You're like, I want to watch. And then they do it and you're like, I'm going to go.
I feel bad that I wanted to
I
do that.
I shouldn't. Yeah. Yeah. It's what
like,
Seth Rogen.
It's like weird porn.
Yeah. It's like, yes.
Let me just see if I like it. Of course you don't like it.
I knew I wouldn't like that.
Know that you're a good person for not liking it, but know you're a bad person for not knowing before seeing that.
That's like that Seth Rogen thing. It's like going to a donkey show where it's like, and then in the middle, you're like, oh, it's a woman fucking a donkey.
Yeah,
damn.
No thanks.
Yes.
That's, yeah. It's like in the middle, like, oh, you're smoking crack.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's not interesting. It smells bad. But it didn't smell like that or anything. And then he taught me how to inhale it. And you, then he was like, yo, go. And yeah. Then there was this moment where you just kind of go, phoom. And it's adrenaline where I, like, I wanted to get up. And he knew that. And he just pushed me back down. Just like he put his hand on my heart.
I love doing drugs where they have to hold you down.
Well, that's the thing. Well, later I didn't realize what it is your body thinks you're dying. Because
oh,
your
that
body
sounds
is
great.
When your body's flooded with it, it's yeah. That's what the sign is, you're dying. So the adrenaline kicked in and be like, yo, motherfucker, don't die. Because okay. It feels like. And
that's
he's
the first initial reaction.
Yeah. And so he's like, calm. That's just adrenaline kicking in because it thinks this is happening.
Was that the most intense feeling you've ever felt?
That like
your
thing,
body thinks it's about to die?
No, it just felt like you came off stage after you destroyed.
Okay.
Like the hardest you've ever. Like that. Like you just nail a, like a taping or
gotcha,
something.
Gotcha, every weekend.
Yeah, like any time Kyle goes on stage, like after you leave the stage. It's that. But you're just like, bah! But it is that, like, it's scarier than that because you haven't controlled it.
Okay.
So your body is just more like, huh. And then he's like, here's what's happening. It thinks this is, and you're just like, okay.
So
which
you
is
can
nice.
Hear and understand, like, when Shane was talking to you?
Yeah, and then we kind of take off. Yeah, see, he kept saying stuff, too, because we're seeing the same stuff. That was the weirdest
part. So he was
part.
Doing it with you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I want to know about, is that people do it and they have the same...
Yeah, if we all did it right now, we'd all see the same thing.
That's crazy.
Right?
But what would
that's
you,
what blew
like,
my mind the most.
That's crazy.
Is it like, like when you do mushrooms and you see patterns, they start to rotate or slide or this?
It's not anything like that.
Okay.
It is a different... deeper detailed thing than I've ever, and it dissipates and I don't even remember, like, because he Shane was really smart too, like when he was done he was like, start talking about what you saw because it's gonna, you're not gonna remember it, because when you're in it you're just like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like, this is the coolest thing. There's some scary parts because there's like realizations about certain things that you're like, I was afraid that was that way. And just like that kind of stuff. Where, and then you have these realizations where you're like, well, it has to be, and everything's okay. And like,
would yeah. you be capable of taking notes and doing DMT? Or is it
get a stenographer?
The motor skills just aren't there.
I didn't think about what my body was doing.
That's the weirdest Craigslist job listing you could put out there. Hey, I need somebody with a...
I think it would be weirder how quick the response you got. People are like, yes.
I need a lot of words per minute. Like, all you said was pizza party 9 times.
Peaceful pizza party. Peaceful pizza party.
Hey, everybody. Faithful podcast listeners. My name is Kyle. I'm the host of Never Seen It. It is a podcast where I have comedians rewrite famous movies and TV shows they've never seen, and then we read those scripts in studio. So maybe someone's never seen Game of Thrones, or someone's never seen Shawshank Redemption. They write a script of what they think that movie or TV show is, and we read it in studio. And then we play some fun games. My dad gets involved. It's a really good time. I think if you love movies, if you love TV shows, but maybe you're not caught up on everything that's ever been made in the entire history of the world, this podcast is for you. It's called Never Seen It. I think you're going to love it. You can find it on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Check it out.
Can I go back to the similar image? Like, what was it that... Was it, like, more, like... You know, like on drugs, sometimes you could be like filled with these emotions and you kind of almost feel like it's a visual you're having, but really it's a feeling you're having. You're not seeing something, but
it
the
was,
emotion you're having as like components to it. That
what was cool was...
Like I love things. Oh, I think about people that I love and I see...
No, it wasn't that. Yeah. It was not. You couldn't... Now, I felt the music controlled certain parts of it, mm-hmm. which that was my only thing looking back... Like, the only thing I thought immediately, like, the next couple of days about it was that if I could do it again, I would do it without music just to see where we went there.
Yeah.
Because the music would change, and then we'd go some, like, stuff would change when the music would change in a way that frustrated me a little bit.
Well, what would happen if you did DMT and just listened to something awful?
Oh, I
put on a Kid
Rock
album.
I've read about it since, and like, because my experience was so nice, and it changed me kind of. It changed, like, it didn't change me, it just took away some anxiety, some existential anxiety in a way that nothing else has been able to do.
That's an appealing part.
That's why.
I get that off mushrooms too. Like,
but it's not. It's
your problems aren't what they seem.
Yeah.
Yes, but it's different because this gives you clarity about the nonsense that mushrooms doesn't give you clarity about. If that makes sense, because like you said, like.
Like, I think I get that sometimes with mushrooms.
But it goes away so quick. Like, even in the trip, you lose that point of view.
Oh, you mean like it doesn't lay over. You don't retain
there's
that
no
sensibility.
Yes, it dissipates.
Yeah.
This resonates in a way that is like a fundamental change. Like, what it did, and I read about it later, because you can ask it things. Like, that's what Shane was saying. He was like, you can say, he was like, ask it what you wanted, these things. And I didn't even say it out loud. It was like, you're in this communication with this, like, and there's like this being, and it was female. I'm very sure of it.
Was she purple or blue?
I don't remember. And I've read
about things that people see.
Well, I've read about that since, but I think that may be a recollection thing where somebody said it and somebody was like, no, it was greenish. But it was like a being, a slender female form being that was very loving. It was just like pure love and telling me these answers to these things. And there's other realizations I'm having, not from this voice, but this voice I did ask, like, hey, my whole life has been about finding like that balance and peace. Just trying to find like why we can't. And I've always had trouble finding it in my youth because I take things to the extreme.
Yeah.
And then, so I was like, why can't we as a society either find that balance, which is very strange.
What balance?
Just there's like a peace. Mm-hmm. You know, why can't we be peaceful? Why is there constant conflict?
Yeah.
Yeah, why can't you can have your issues, I can have my issues, but they're not so teeter totter different than like
on top of each other.
Yeah, your thing isn't affecting my thing. Why am I angry about your thing?
Can't we
just
be?
Why can't we just do that?
Yeah.
And when I was on it, it became like this clear voice was like, oh, finding true peace is accepting death and moving on to another plane in existence where true peace exists. And I was like, oh, I know that to be true, what you just said. Like, I believe it with everything. One of the truest things I'd ever experienced. But I also started laughing because I was like, I'm not ready to accept that yet.
That's what,
because I felt like I could kill myself with my own mind at that point.
Well, that's like, it seems like you got put into the default setting of death.
Yeah.
Like, this is the reward when you die. You get to ask.
It is. It's like cheating.
Like,
yes.
And like any question you want. It's like, you know.
Yes.
I might as well interview to be the president of the company. Let's just see how that goes.
Well, what
then
it did.
Like, you're actually going to get the job. Like, I don't want this shit at all, man.
Well, then what that did was I dropped, and I read about this later, what it is, what I did, was I just did it. Was like, all that peripheral bullshit that they're feeding us that comics are supposed to want and these notches and all that shit that we get sidetracked on. Because you're like, oh, you need this set to do this thing. And, and it takes away from your artistic ability if you're not on top of it and know how to angle that, especially when you're young. I dropped all that fucking second and was like, oh, these are the things I want to fucking do in my career.
Yeah.
And that's when that huge, it wasn't even huge to anybody noticeable, but for me, foundational change in the way I went about touring, the way I went about the business, and it got easy.
Yeah.
And then I read later, that's what it does when you trip, is like you drop your ego if you really let it. And that's what that's the ego is like, oh, I'm competing against, like, you got a Comedy Central Presents and you got this, so why don't I have this and I need to do that? And you're like, that's fucking, we're artists. What the fuck is this?
Yeah.
It's fucking dumbest shit I've ever seen.
I read, I was, there was something I was reading. He's like, yeah, once you can, like, yeah, get rid of the ego, and that's when everything truly opens up, is when you stop worrying about your shit.
Your shit. It's yours.
Yeah.
And you're putting it there.
You're looking at your own life on behalf of somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, they're looking at me like, oh, we can't give Billy this thing because he didn't prove himself on this show or that show. It's like, I have no idea if they're saying that. I'm putting words in their head that they're saying about me, and this is worthless.
Yes. How about I just go and do what I need to do in that moment that night?
Yeah. Well, I think it's the difference when you realize that your life truly is inconsequential, but don't be sad about it.
No.
And don't be a dick. Like, well, if it doesn't mean anything, I'm going to be an asshole. It's like, no, that's not that. Then you did it wrong. I can't say why it's right or wrong, but like that's wrong.
Well, like
it's inconsequential that you shouldn't worry so much about stuff.
Oh, without a doubt, it's like the way my son goes about certain video games impresses me because it's about him learning this thing more than it's about like I'm trying to compete with this dude. Yeah. Fuck this dude, and he's like, no, I'm not. I'm competing with me. And like I want to be like, I've done drugs, and you're right. You should do. You're so right about it. Keep living this way because I smoke drugs with this friend of daddy's.
I had to go talk to an alien that lives inside of us called Love and find that out. You just got that from
Minecraft taught you that.
Yeah, God of War got you there.
That's
ironically enough.
That is, I mean, it is that thing. And with mushrooms, you have to like. Some people are like, I need to do them every 6 months, or I need to microdose. Like DMT is like, I did it, you know, 7 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and it still kicks in. Now, every now and then I'll be like chasing something, like, what am I doing? Oh, I just want a bunch of money. That's all it is.
Let me ask you this.
Having a bunch of money really makes it easy to sit around doing drugs, thinking about how your life is inconsequential and inner peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to do that when you're working 50 hours a week.
If I had like a farm that like people made it work and pay for itself, yeah, man, that'd be perfect.
So if you need to be a titan of industry.
I think that's, yeah, well, it's like,
you need to be the guys in your frat house that had ranch money.
Well, I think, yeah,
I
well,
smoke DMT in my souped up F-350.
And I drive around.
Knowing I'm from old money, and that's inner peace. Old money is inner peace.
Yes, that is who is seeking a lot of inner peace. Those
I will
old
say
dudes
that some rich
tie-dyes.
Kids, some rich kids with self-awareness, like there's like somewhere I read where it's like, oh, the reason so many great painters came out of like Greenwich Village in the 60s and 70s, they were all rich kids, but then they knew that, so they're like, I'm just going to make art.
Yes.
I'm going for it on art. Like, I'm well aware of my privilege.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take
fearless.
This. Yeah, I can take chances. I can make mistakes. There's going to be critics that are going to be like, well, but you're for money. So, well, then I'm doing what I can with it in the name of art. There's some comedians that are like, oh, you just do whatever. You're like, oh, you're from rich family, and because of that, like, you know, you have something to fall back on.
I think about that
so
all the time.
So there's not risk there, but then there's a different type of risk where you can get so weird with comedy.
I said it. So I was driving with somebody, and it was when I'd like to give him a shout out. It was a feature act in fucking Houston, Texas, and I can't remember his name. I'm sorry. He's great. But he asked me, he was like, if you won that $500 million, he was like, would you still do comedy? I was like, oh, no. No. And he was like, really? That surprised me. He's like, you're such – and I was like, yeah, but, like, I don't come from, like, wealth. Mm-hmm. So this is a cheat to get wealth.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could go
– I'm gambling with my time
I
on
am.
Earth.
Yeah, I'm very much gambling to help my family. I could have been a lawyer and should have done it that way because I have the ability and whatever. But I chose, because I'm an asshole, to go tell jokes and see the world that way and hopefully hit a lottery that I can stop and help the rest of my family and change their thing. And I was like, but that being said, there would be a year where no one knew I won the lottery and would be like, he does not give a fuck anymore.
Yeah.
We're like the weirdest shit. We're like, just as a comedian, you're like, remember that year when Billy just lost his mind and disappeared?
We were worried for him, but it just turned out he got real rich. But or like comedians that did come and did do well and then address it, like are still comedians about it. Like Drew Carey would drop in at Tiger Lily, I forget what the show was called. Like would ride his scooter over there from the Price is Right set and was funny, but was funny about being a rich guy.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, they want to just tax rich people have much more. It's like, I worked. I earned that million. You would tax me more. Just like, I worked and I got lucky. It's a ridiculous argument. I have this argument with my maid all the time. I mean, sometimes she'll be ready to leave and I'll just dump a bag of chips on the ground and make her clean it up so I can continue having the argument.
He's so good.
Her.
Yes.
And it's like, that's funny. You're being a dick, but that's funny. Somebody else was talking about Tim Allen at the Laugh Factory, just talking about getting his Lamborghini fixed, but that wasn't the joke part. And everybody's just like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about?
Should have left that part out. You should have said a car. Getting your car fixed. Yeah. That's when you.
Yeah, but why do you have a Lamborghini unless you could say you have a Lamborghini?
I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
But I think it's still exercise for the mind.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those guys can't. Like, why is Tim Allen doing stand-up?
Well, that's if you would have dropped the ego, either he wouldn't do stand-up.
No.
Or the stand-up would be very insightful. And if it's neither of those things, then it's ego got you there.
Yep. It's 100%. Yeah.
So we need to all do DMT.
Billy, let's go a little deeper with this DMT thing. All right.
Okay.
I'm gonna
pretty deep.
I'm gonna get a little I'm gonna get a little sincere
so
real quick.
Being made of love. Yeah. You could ask questions.
I think I talked to God.
You said something to me one time.
Get a
Billy.
Bone around or no? Can you fuck on it?
I don't remember what my body was doing.
Yeah, that's the Shane's got a lot of pictures.
That's fine.
Lay down, put this pillow over your head.
I was in good shape then. I wasn't drinking. Yeah, that's good. That's good. I'm glad someone documented that time in my life.
Billy,
look at that body.
I don't know if you remember this, but you said something very profound to me one day.
Oh no.
And it was DMT was involved. Well, it was, yeah. Not to turn it to Sad Town, but the day my father died,
oh yeah,
we had a long conversation that day,
I remember that.
I appreciate that, and that was.
I thought that was not a text.
Yeah, that was. It was about 10-15 minutes after I found out. I'm in a hotel parking lot in Cincinnati, just walking, doing laps at like 10 in the morning, trying to like get it to sink in, and you sent a text because I posted
something.
I posted something on Twitter. I didn't say what happened. I just said I had to cancel some shows. So you were like, "Everything okay?"
Well, I immediately was like, "Well, that's not."
Yeah,
it's not.
And I was like, "Well, no, you know." And I told
there's
you
there's like certain people, you know, it's like when they cancel, you're like, "What is wrong with you?"
Yeah,
yeah.
But we had a nice conversation, and that was literally 10 or 15 minutes after I, you know, figured out what was going on. And you said something very profound to me. You said, Dave, you're going to see your daddy again.
Oh, yeah.
And then you followed it up. You said, I've done DMT, and I know some shit, and you're going to see your daddy again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a really sweet thing for you to say, but I guess now, a year after the fact and not in the emotional moment, what exactly do you mean by that, or did you mean by that?
Well, it's got deep for 4 in the afternoon. what it...
I'm sorry if that was not to
no,
put you
I
on the
can
spot.
Explain it. It's just more emotional.
Dave, that's just thing people say sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an old family saying.
I just tried to fucking put the fire out,
no,
buddy.
No, it's a...
You know, he's a better place. It's happy now. All that shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I was saying. I just try to put my own stamp on it, Dave. That's all I was trying to do.
It was... One of my best friends passed away when I was 17, and he's like, some of the, you know, these moments in your life where like, well, that was odd and special. It was like one of the most peaceful moments of my life was seeing his open casket and seeing his body, because he wasn't, it was just this, that's when it was clear. I was like, oh, this is just a fucking vessel,
yeah.
Or for lack of a better term. But like that, my dude is somewhere else. That thing that made him John...
Ain't
not,
just laying here.
Is not here anymore.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. And it was, I don't.
He ditched the vehicle.
Yeah, or it was time to go or whatever. And I've since seen that. I've never struggled with death. Like I've taken some harder than others where you're like, ah, I liked him. Or I like that person was fucking, we got each other.
Yeah.
But like them being gone has never been like, no, like that non-acceptance. It's always been like, cool, they're gone, and this is over for them, whatever. And I've always, like, since I was little, I've always been able to understand that for whatever. And as I got older, I'm like, that's weird. A lot of people don't have that. Now, I've never wanted to be like a funeral director or anything like that, but like when people pass, it's tough. It's not tough for me. It's just like, oh, that's these this energies. We go somewhere else. And then when I did DMT, it became like that thing I thought I knew. It was like, oh, I was right about
confirmed.
That.
Confirmed.
Yeah, I was like, I was very right about that.
You just moved to the next town that we all move to eventually.
Yes, and then like another thing that happened.
You just had to go get there early and set up the decorations.
Yeah, and there's parts of it I'm not going to explain because it's in my special, so it's like this cool like tie-in thing. But there's other like realizations you have on it that
DMT taught you how to be a frugal marketer.
Well,
it appears you there's some assholes that would take that from it.
It's gonna.
Yeah, well, that ego is like, well, it's not just about you. You need money for these kids you keep making, you dumb fuck. And you're like, okay, I should think of it that way.
DMT told me to teach a comedy class.
Oh, God. I did it. I did say I would. I was like, the only comedy class what it teaches is if the University of California, Santa Cruz hired me as a professor to teach stand-up. I was like, I'd go there and teach stand-up till I died.
I've looked at location. Like, I never thought about the idea of, like, well, teach a comedy, but.
There?
I'm just trying to ride bikes while I can with my body. Santa Cruz.
This? What?
Have you been to Santa Cruz?
To live as a human person, Santa Cruz is amazing.
I'm going there tomorrow. Very excited.
It is a...
It's a badass.
That's a place.
You're going to get frustrated at first because...
I was there for 12 hours one time, and I didn't really take it in.
You can't take it in.
They got some of the best mountain bike trails, but it just happens like, oh, it's because you're in the Redwoods. Like, oh, a place I would just want to be anyway, and I can do cool stuff on my bike, and then I could just put my bike down and stand amongst Redwoods and have a peaceful moment.
And then everyone respects what you're doing and kind of get out of your way with, like, manners. Yeah, it's like everyone's chill there, too. It's not...
There's a bit too much chill from the beach people for me.
Well, you're not a beach person. Like, so maybe you need to get out of there.
Chill. When you could just see somebody at a restaurant actively forgetting your order while you're in the middle of sitting.
Oh, that. Yeah. Well, that you're talking about the ski bum thing.
Or just
that.
Marijuana country and stuff. Where like you're at work. Like I get you, but I want this omelet with these things in it.
Yes.
Please make eye contact with me.
Yes.
Yeah.
That thing.
Like, I need you to just do this much. Move your pen. Your pen's not moving. I want mushrooms and cheese and tomatoes.
Yes.
There's not a fucking chance in hell you're going to remember that in the next 30 seconds from here to the kitchen. Write it down.
No.
Oh, that drives me fucking nuts. Humboldt's, why would you not write it down?
Humboldt's got a touch of that, too.
I'm not impressed by your memory.
I was talking specifically about Humboldt.
Humboldt is that. That was like, there's several restaurants I just thought of as you're doing
that. Yeah, I was referring to Humboldt, too. So maybe
I love Humboldt.
Santa Cruz is a little more grounded. There is a university. There are people trying to get through the class there.
Yes, yes. There is a part of Humboldt where you're like, I don't like this
part.
But
if they're getting that stand-up program together, you let me know if you need somebody to come up there and help write some curriculum.
Well, somebody asked me, like, what would you? I was like, well, the first day I would just be like, who wants to do this for real? And then I'd be like, here's what the first 10 years are going to be and just explain it. And then after that, I'm like, if you still want to do it, cool. What we're going to do is just watch some of the best comedy and while I'll just pause it every now and then and be like, see that? That's this.
Yeah.
Boom.
See that? That's this.
Well, that's like any good football coach. We're like, just the back pausing. See what he did? Do it that way.
Just do what he did.
The self-awareness that some people at some professors at liberal arts colleges had, because I remember going to orientation at Columbia College with my dad and him already just kind of like, ugh, all right. And then another like blue collar dad with their daughter there, so I'm like, so my daughter, she's gonna go here for poetry. So
that hurt my insides to say it out loud.
What do you want to tell her that I can't tell her about that right now? So what's the job feel like that? What is it, just greeting cards? Or what else is there?
Did she grow up a black prostitute?
Yeah.
Then she's not going to succeed.
Yeah, no, you can write some jingles. But like, but the self-awareness of like, listen, you're taking this class because you enjoy this, and maybe it'll be a thing you do with your life, but like, hey, do you want to exercise some demons and you're scared of therapy? Welcome to stand-up comedy.
That's all it is in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the first time you heard Dr. Pepper, that Patton Oswalt bill about
open micers. The guy who falls asleep during his set.
Like, we were all just, that was still like open mic or just like barely MC.
And I hope your dog gets the sugar shits all over your puppy.
There was this dude in our, like, we were like, everyone just set up, we were watching it, and just said the guy's name. in our scene. And I was telling that story, and somebody was like, we just had one of those. And
yeah,
I was like, that's
we had a couple of those in Atlanta.
And I remember that guy's joke was like, don't you hate it when you go to McDonald's and they always give it to you to go, whether you asked for it to go or not?
That's because you smell.
And we were just like, that's the funniest. Like, he said it as a real problem.
He
but
didn't
like,
realize
that's
why.
So funny.
There is a, I can't say it here, but. yeah.
What? Y'all had one of those in Chicago?
Well, just the guy. What's I don't know. I can't remember the Dr. Pepper bit. I'm sure I've heard it, but
he's just talking about like the guy was a heroin addict, but he's just talking about the concept of open mic, and anybody can come to an open mic. And they had a heroin addict who would fall asleep during his own act.
But every now and then they come in and they're just like they've put it all together.
Yeah.
And that dude would come in Nashville and put it all together and be like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Just enough
on
to keep him
on purpose?
No. It was just like everything was right. He said all the things in the right order on accident.
Yeah.
And that was enough to keep him going for 5 more years.
Yeah, I'm great at this. Like,
yes.
You don't know why.
And then the next week, it's just a puzzle of all those words in a different order.
Yeah. Well, open mics, just as its own glimpse and a splice of any troubled artist or somebody that needs 5 minutes of attention, go see one in your town.
Yeah.
I urge anybody, whether you want to do comedy or not, go sit in the back. Don't be in the front. Don't be a target. Try and hide in the shadows and just sit and watch. I was at an open mic out here. I did a show at Pico's on Union or Pico's on Venice. Pico's
what?
That's what it was. Echoes under.
I was like, Pico's is a road.
Yeah, Echoes under Sunset moves.
I would like
to
go. Pico's
sunset.
On Sunset. They move Sunset on top of Pico's. Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, this town's getting busy. You got to fix traffic. Anyway, forget it. This is my open mic bit. Maybe put a road on top of another road. I think they call them a highway.
Nice bit, Elon.
This guy, like, I stayed for the open mic, and I sat on a couch in the back. The guy working, I was like, want to get stoned? I'm like, I'm not going to do this open mic. I'm just going to watch it.
I'm going to experience it.
And I forgot what it was like to just, especially in L.A., where it was like, I'm moving here, and talent gets discovered at open mic, so I'm signing up. And it was...
I forgot about that element.
It was like if a garage sale was just people. It was like, what? What's this? This is just part
was
of something
recently?
Else you don't have.
Recently?
Maybe last year.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
It was
about a year ago.
Did I tell it on the show? Did I talk about it?
I don't know if you told it on the show, but you definitely told me
about
it.
But it was just... It was like two non-binary individuals hosting it. Instead of a light, they would shake a tambourine at the end of 5 minutes.
Oh, fuck.
And then one guy in a dress who was not a cross-dresser, just like... That was his gimmick to get people to watch. Plopped in front of the stage with his open MacBook going over his notes in front of the stage. Everybody just saw the glare of the screen. Then he got up there, and it was like awkward poetry about the Trump administration. But he's always like, hey, see, it's a lady in a dress. Or it's a guy in a dress. Now it's something to look at. Anyway, Trump, he lays in a bed of lies. Lays in his bed of lies. I was looking for the cameras on me, like whenever something's so fucked, you're like, this is a prank show.
Yeah.
Okay, let me sign the waiver. It was a good, you got me. But he lost his place, and then the tambourine started going, and
just kept going.
I was crying on this couch in the back.
You got a
and
gift.
I can do that because I did enough of that shit before.
Yes,
I'm not an outsider.
I don't think you. I think
I
you earned that
for the wrong reasons at an open mic.
That's when you get those gigs where they're going to pay you how much, and you're like, I don't feel bad because of how many gigs I've done where they've paid me no much.
Yeah.
You're like, this is some weird universe thing. We're like, well, you made it through. Here you go. But you've earned that. God.
But just the oddities of.
That's
then,
a good
bros,
point.
Some bros passing through town, like, don't you hate it when bitches are like, tambourine? I was like, good, absolutely. Should have gotten the tambourine at that point. Fuck this guy.
That's a good point about L.A., is like when they film those prank shows here, and people are like, how do you not know you're on a prank show? And you're like, have you ever been to L.A.? You just go outside, it feels like a prank show.
Yeah.
Because there's a dude pissing over there. Those people are fucking for some reason.
Yeah.
That guy's famous.
Yeah. Oh, look, Iron Man's got a boner.
Yes.
There was a video of somebody, like the guy who dressed like Superman fought the guy who dressed like Batman, like got in a fist fight on Hollywood Boulevard.
I used to walk through that every day. my when I was living in the van, my gym was the LA Fitness right there on Hollywood Boulevard and like Orange, near La Brea. Yeah. And I would park the van, you know, more towards like Los Feliz, and I would walk through that bullshit every day just to go take a dump. That's what I would have to endure.
That's part of that story.
Yeah.
We're interviewing Dave. Dave, why did you see Batman fight Superman? Well, I was leaving my home / van to go take a shit at the gym, and it all unfolded right in front of me.
Yep.
Like, that just adds to the story.
Yep.
And we're sitting here knowing you're a semi-normal guy. But the fact that every, like, the layers of weirdness in this city.
Oh, and you don't question it after a while. You just keep walk by, and you're like, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No one. Hope my son didn't see that.
Well, your son's gonna see it.
Oh, he's
You're
cool.
raising children in Los Angeles.
Oh, I know. There's like the one that got me the other day was the chlamydia volcano thing. Remember that?
Oh, that was
that
right
billboard?
Here on 7-Eleven.
Yeah, he might because he goes to school over near here, and we go home that way. And one day he was like chlamydia explosion or something in the back. He didn't know what it was.
Uh huh.
And for the listener, they probably don't know what it is either. It just says there's like chlamydia.
Just a billboard. That
epidemic
just says,
or something like that. And it's like it just says chlamydia in huge letters. And
it looks like
a
cover
volcano.
Of Dianetics.
Yeah. That's exactly, yes.
Yeah.
And then, but my son was just, we make fun of advertising a lot. So that's what he was doing. He was like, chlamydia explosion. I was like, nah, you don't know what that is. But
it's a pretty fun one.
when you get old enough and learn that, you'll think of this moment and be like, oh, Dad should have said
that. Say that in front of your mom. Yeah. don't give it any context either. It'll
just say, chlamydia explosion.
Wait, chlamydia and the clap. That's the same thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I just now put
curable.
Those together.
Did you know that?
It's but I curable. Guess they should call
you
it the clam.
On your own, or you learn that on
I had a good friend. I actually had a good friend that never had chlamydia. But a good friend.
I had herpes once. That's an old Tanner Inman joke from Atlanta. I had herpes once.
That was funny. Is he still alive?
I don't know. That's a weird question to ask on a podcast.
No, it is.
Went for the inner workings of the human soul into a... Hey, that guy died who had that funny herpes joke.
Well, it's just like you think of those guys that...
Maybe I'll talk to him
next
time
I do DMT.
That's what I mean. I think more than is he still alive is
the
like...
The amount of Atlanta comedians who have quit comedy would be like a great scene somewhere. There's like 6 or 8 like brilliant dudes that just don't do it anymore.
Ralphie May, he fucked a lot of... He was a maniac of a human being, but he like had a lot of wisdom like most crazy people do.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that early on. He was like, what's going to shock you the most about this is the people that you think are way funnier than anyone you've ever seen that quit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's happened several times where I've just been like, I'm glad he told me that because it prepared me. Because if it would have just been like, you can't quit.
Well, and the opposite of people that like, why are you still doing this?
Like, that's, yes.
Don't question the effort or lack of effort. Like, that doesn't have to correlate with skill.
Yes.
Willingness does not correlate with skill level.
Yeah, like, no, it doesn't.
No. No, that's another thing I tell people. I'm like, what's the weirdest thing about comedy that you didn't think? I was like, oh, that you don't have to be funny to do it.
Yeah. You could tell when there's no heart behind it. There's a guy here that I would see, and I could see him getting pissed because you could tell it was somebody that, like, loves Seinfeld, love observational, set up, observe, punchline. And would do that, and there was just no heart to it. It was a joke. It made sense. It was a functional joke. It was, do you ever see this thing? Like this.
I bet I know who you're talking about.
And then, but then he would sit there and be like, I don't, these jokes fit, like they fit the form. It's like, you're trying to do math.
Well, you're missing a variable in your math.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what they miss, that magic thing.
Yeah, you can't approach this from like a logical like building blocks thing.
No, because you'll go insane.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, did it not? That's why DMT really helped too, because it was like, yo, this is your own path.
Yeah.
Quit listening to all this nonsense. You know what you want to do.
You got to dose these nerds.
Never. Never. That never occurred. But it is like the only drug I encourage. Like, I don't even tell people to smoke weed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Just DMT.
Well, like,
is that a legally binding statement? You want to change the wording on that, Mister? I could have been a lawyer.
Well, everyone
do DMT. Anyway, that's the end of the podcast.
Everyone.
We got a lot of emails.
Let me ask you this, Billy, and I'm just sincerely curious. Why have you only done it once?
I don't feel like I want to do it again.
Okay.
It wasn't
once is enough.
For you?
It's like blowing a guy. You just got all the answers.
Yeah. Like, this isn't for me. No. No, there's been a couple times where I was like, I'm curious about doing it again. Just when I get, like, I looked into it pretty heavy, and then I got curious about it. But then life got more confusing, or not confusing, but more complicated. So I was just like, I didn't have time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but it's like, I just smoke weed and drink coffee. That's my two vices, I guess. And I would even say sex is, that's the nice part of being in your late 30s where you're like, no, I like it, but.
Oh, I've been joking about how, like.
It's great. I don't think about it all the time. It's
at
great.
42, yeah, like, like I scratch my ears to my car keys. I'm like, I know that's not the same as sex, but it's a very close second.
There's like some things coming up where I'm like, pass.
Yeah, no, I was like, if this is low T, I'll be the spokesperson for that shit. I don't care. I'm
here if you need me. But
it
like,
is.
It's still great, but also some other stuff's pretty good, too.
Yes,
it
I'm okay.
It doesn't dictate my every waking moment.
So great.
You need to fuck.
Yes.
No, man, maybe just go to Albertsons for a while.
And that is refreshing.
To get something to fuck with.
That, mm-hmm. To finally crest that hill of like, oh, I don't need to be thinking about fucking all the time.
No.
You ever watch Big Mouth?
I haven't, no.
I haven't watched all of it, but it's that Nick Kroll show, and it's like the kid's going through puberty, and there's a puberty monster, and that is just constantly over the kitchen. This one's like, yeah, that's your mom, but her tits look nice in that sweater. Jerk off to her tits. Jerk off to your mom's tits. And he's just like, oh, my God. Like, you're just dictated by that feeling all the time.
That's such a great way to put that.
Oh, and it's just so wildly like illogical of like.
That is.
That looks like a pussy over there, doesn't it? Yeah, now you got a boner. Deal with that. You're in school. Just.
What is V? What is the V?
Yeah, it's nice to be beyond that. Like, oh, maybe I'll get something done now.
Yeah.
You know? It's how I feel about being constipated. Once a year I get constipated, and then I think, what a refreshing change of pace.
I don't know.
Maybe I'll get something done.
My wife said that she would blow me every morning if I had a six-pack. And I think she thought that would motivate me. But I've had one before, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of trouble. That's why I've avoided it.
It's well, to make it look the way it's supposed to look, because what happens is you get...
Sort of enjoy any kind of sexual pleasure.
It was
crunches.
It would be like, I don't know, like, how about we just keep it the way it is, and I get to eat ice cream? Do you know what I mean? Because you don't get to eat anything.
Yeah.
If you want to look like that.
Yeah.
And it's... It's,
what a weird priority for her.
Well, I think she thought it would motivate me to work out more.
It's not that she was trying to do it.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if she wanted to blow me every day, she'd do that.
How about once a week and I still eat Wendy's?
Yeah, that's...
At the same time.
Everybody get what they want.
My one friend when I was little, he's like, yep, fuck, got it. I did it. Got to give me a blowjob while I was playing Xbox and eating ice cream. Did it.
Like, well,
I peaked.
You dead?
Done. He's like, I got no more goals. Like, you fucking idiot.
Oh, man.
You got her to. What'd you do? I asked.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
Tricked her.
Well.
You mean you're not going to push on my head the whole time? Sure.
Well, you got to put the bull down somewhere.
So, Jesus big Christ. Thumbs up on DMT, huh, really Billy?
We got so close to getting.
I think that needed to be tagged like that.
Really insightful.
What else are you into, Billy? What do you spend your time doing when you're not doing comedy and raising a family?
Not getting a six pack.
No, I'm job, I'm not.
A joint on your shirt.
When you're, let's say you got.
I think this sums it up.
Billy, you got a night off from comedy. You got a night off from the family. You got
shit.
Nothing to do. How are you spending that night?
I mean, I'm gonna get pretty high. And then I'll probably go somewhere like nice to eat. That's like a thing.
Okay.
I think I got to a certain age where that I like that.
I got to call bullshit on you there, Billy, because we haven't had this conversation yet.
All right.
But and I haven't talked to you about this.
You got aggressive. He turned.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is something I've been meaning to bring up to you.
Dave in his own house.
Yeah. Something I've been meaning. To talk
we
got to
check
out
whiskey level over there.
Yeah.
Kyle, listen to this bullshit.
Drunk
right?
With a place to kick his feet off. Shoes
as,
off.
As a lover of food. And a girthy fella.
All right.
Billy invited me to his birthday party. When was that?
All right.
When was your birthday?
February?
February.
You know when your birthday is.
Yeah, he said it with a question mark. February.
Man. I was thinking about the party and when I... That, you're right. I did. I did.
When is my birthday?
But in my head, I was like, what party was that?
Billy invited me to his birthday party, and it was fun, and it was a good hang.
Yeah.
But there was no food component.
See, I'm not a food person.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
To me, birthday is like... the Super Bowl of meals. You're, like, where am I eating today? If ever there's a day where I can throw the diet out the window and throw, you know, not worry about how much it costs, not worry about, you know, the health.
But you were going to a party.
I'm saying he celebrated his birthday.
It wasn't even a party. It was like four people.
He had a little gathering, and food was never a consideration. And I don't understand how – that's probably why you're not 100 pounds overweight, but I don't understand how that brain works. I was like –
well, I realize that because I do – when I travel with Fatty, Fatty Warbucks.
Ralphie May.
To be such a ball buster, he hated when I called him that. And I was like –
the big guy hated when you called him Fatty?
Fatty Warbucks. Like Annie Warbucks, because you just throw money at fucking open micers sometimes. I was like, hey, Fatty Warbucks, let's just ease up. Okay, and he was like, I don't like that. And I was like, well, now I'm going to say it every fucking day. But he would – I know all these great restaurants across the country because he loved food.
Yeah.
Yeah, those headliners love going big on the
– yeah, and then he also weighed 500 pounds on top of it. So, like, he had an extra love, which was great. And I figured out
– he was cartoon fat.
I mean, he weighed 800-something pounds at one point. And I used to tell him, I was like, I'm not even mad at you. That's impressive. That's a feat. I could never do that.
I would always watch my 600-pound life, not in like this superiority thing, but like just the physicality of a human body. The same way I watch people do wingsuit stuff. I'm like, you're doing something with your body I cannot conceive of.
He hit me one time, and it dead my arm just immediately. It was like one of the hardest hits I've ever. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess there's
muscle
just
a
lot of muscle. And then to move, he was pretty he was quicker than you thought he was.
He's out of breath for 9 days after.
Yeah, but you get him on distance. He's quick.
But I just I couldn't fathom the concept of someone celebrating their birthday and like food not being the first or second priority of the day.
I forget to eat.
I was like, yeah, because on your birthday, I was leaving, Aaron was going to the grocery store, and she's like, Billy, it's your birthday. Do you want me to pick you up something? And you were like, well, give me a sandwich or something. And I was like, how is this not a more important meal to you, Billy?
I've had good food, like nice restaurants and just good food in general. And I've been like, that was good food. But I don't look at food. I don't romance it. It's a thing. It's like I'm stopping for gas. But I don't want to eat trash anymore.
Yeah.
Because just like stopping for gas, you can put good gas in your car, bad gas in your car. I'm trying to eat better because I want to feel better.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I'm like... yeah, I guess I got to do this thing today.
Yeah, mine's quality. It's a quality now that I'm older. It's like I know good food versus bad food.
I don't need fancy shit.
I don't give a shit about
it
either.
I don't need like bone marrow on toast or anything.
Because I don't know about it enough to be like, this is amazing, and I would feel like I'm wasting this artist's time.
Yeah.
Too. Like, that really, like the French Laundry, that place up in Northern California,
yeah.
It fascinates me. Like, I follow them on Instagram, mm-hmm. and like, just anything at that level fascinates me. Like the perfection, I like that.
Yeah,
but
I'd feel bad being there.
Every time I see people sitting there, I'm like, oh, I hope you know what you're doing because you're insulting. Like
wasted on them.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. But I've had where like, oh, this flavor goes with this flavor. I'm like, I never would have thought. You do a lot of stuff too, where you like putting one flavor with another flavor, and you're like, I would have never thought of that. That's very interesting, man. That's cool. Also, tomorrow I'm not gonna be like, now I gotta top that.
Yes. Yeah.
Now. For all the other ways I go to extremes with like, I'm not going to have a drink. I'm going to get drunk tonight. Like, there's no such thing as like, I'm just going to have, like, I'm having one beer now. But I'm like, I started drinking.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home, going to keep drinking. But it's never like, food is like, yeah, I got to have it.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm angry right now. I get that. Like, oh, I'm angry and shitty. What? It's like, the physical feeling of hunger isn't there. But I'm like, oh, I'm a shitty person right now. Throw some food in it.
Yes.
Like the Snickers commercial.
Aaron will be like, when have you eaten?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, am I being a dickhead? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go eat. I forgot.
Yeah, Reggie,
well,
you're not mad,
good
you're
for y'all.
It's
which it doesn't excuse you ever being angry, Dave.
Yeah.
Must be nice not to have a crippling food addiction.
Fucking killed.
Well, it's also like when
this guy trying to make my apartment complex livable.
When Dave comes over, I have this grill that I got on Craigslist because it was just one of those things where I was going through and it popped up and I was like, well, that doesn't seem real. And then it was.
Yeah.
And I walked over and I was, with the first time Dave came over, I knew I got a good deal. I just didn't know how good. And Dave was like, the fuck? Where'd you get? I was like, it was $60. And Dave goes, what the fuck? And I was like
$500 new. And it's probably like just a little bit of wear on it. But like, yeah, it's a smoker and a grill.
But like Dave knows.
That means there's evidence on it.
Yeah. Well, Dave knows how to do stuff to it that I don't do.
They got rid of body parts on that
thing. it's like a iron skillet. It adds to the flavor.
Yeah, you can't wash it.
It's like they ate a lot of lavender.
Oh, man.
But yeah, well, Dave was like, oh, you can do this, this, and this on it. And I was like, yeah, that's do it.
Hot dogs?
Hot dogs, and then he smoked something one day.
Sometimes
I
cook
it
this way, so the grill lines go longer. Sometimes I go the other way, so it looks like the package.
You know what I did with my hot dogs?
Make them two different ways.
One of my favorite stories about you is the chewy bacon when y'all got sick.
Oh,
yeah.
Because that's something that I thought about, and someone stopped me one time. Because the first time I heard you, I was like, oh, thank God so-and-so was there, because I was like, I like chewy bacon, and I went to eat it, and somebody's like, that's not cooked. Stop it.
I did that in New York City and then immediately got on a subway train with my friend. We saw so much of New York just from running in and out of every subway stop trying to find a place to shit.
The worst place on earth to get diarrhea.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we learned a lesson that day.
Oh, man.
Because they were like, oh, you can't use our bathroom here. We don't have a bathroom. Like, where does anyone shit or piss?
New York City. I found a bathroom and I finished taking a shit and I just sat in there for another 45 minutes. I'm like, this might not happen again for the next 5 days.
It's quiet up
maybe
alone.
Maybe I could drum up another one while I'm here.
Oh, man. Billy, what's on the horizon? Anything to plug?
Oh, when's this come out?
I don't know.
Cool.
Couple weeks.
You tell us, man.
whatever's good for you.
Next week, I'm in Providence at the Comedy Connection.
We don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I'm sorry.
Just
I didn't mean
go
to.
For it.
Hold on. I could tell you when this is coming out.
July
this is gonna
23rd.
Be, it's going to be a two-parter. This is 23rd and the 30th.
Is that what it is? Yeah, all right. So what you're doing?
Just bwdtour.com. How about that?
bwdtour.com?
Yeah, and that'll have dates hopefully up. And then if you need like Instagram or Twitter, just, you know what? Google Billy Wayne Davis and all that shit will come up.
Yeah.
I hate being, I won't respond. I've almost responded bad when people are like, hey, man, when are you going to come here? Or, hey, man, how do I get these tickets? I'm like, use the same device you just contact.
I'm so torn every time that happens. They're like, when are you coming? I feel like they just don't know how to, like, say something so they want to interact with you.
I see that point, but when it's, how do I get tickets for this show?
Put
a couple words together on Google.
You could have typed that into Google. How do I get tickets
again,
to Kyle's show?
It's a reach out type of thing, but do better.
It is. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I would encourage all our fans to be more clever when you want to say hello.
Yeah, no more stupid fans. You hear that, stupid?
Yeah.
Stupid fans?
Bunch of idiots.
That's another thing. You can't pick them.
Oh,
Jesus is proof of that.
I've been going through.
Do you lose fans?
No, not so bad. There was just some moments I had a few weeks ago on social media. I'm like, hey, you know what? Fuck the lot of you.
Yo, I understand. I fight that disdain.
Hey, you know what? Suck an
egg. Yeah.
That disdain of certain people, and you're like, why do you like me? Do you know what I mean? Or like,
yeah.
I don't know.
There's some schmoes out there.
I like the one where I'm a huge fan, but here's everything wrong with you. Oh, thanks.
God. All right. Well,
Billy, thanks for stopping by,
guys,
buddy.
This was the most fun.
You need more cheese or crackers or anything? We got a whole spread.
I think I'm good.
Katie put out a green room hospitality spread.
Yeah, this was a real. This is like now I feel bad about how I do this every week.
Yeah, well, Kyle sends a writer over to me whenever we.
He's smart.
Yeah, he's like, I'll come over, but you gotta have, you gotta honor my writer.
This isn't my writer.
this is
a vegetable platter.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
To load up with heavy dairy before.
You do need to tell them certain stuff.
If I'm going day to day, it's nothing fancy. It's like the little pull off top veggie platter with broccoli and stuff and the ranch dressing in the middle.
Yeah.
Just because if it's like day to day, I'm like, oh, I'm driving 4 hours to get in. I don't want to eat a meal right before I go on, but I want to have some snacks.
Yeah, or like some fruit.
Yeah. That's not fanciful.
And if you don't say it, they don't do it. Some of them do.
I hate it when they go over the top. I'm like, oh, you didn't have to.
Well, that's when you're like, is this the first time you guys have been doing this? We're like, why do you get us so much stuff?
Or you feel bad, like, hey, nobody ever has a rider when they play here. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I said I need one. Yeah. I'm
trying to be a jerk.
All right. What's the website again, Billy?
BWDTour.com. February?
37?
Holler at you, boys. Hey, guys. We hope you enjoyed our interview with Billy Wayne Davis. Quite a character. Our charming Tennessee goofball. But, yeah, man, hope you enjoyed that. I'm coming off tour as this comes out, so no dates to plug. Kyle is pretty much semi-retired. I hope he's not being serious about that. But what I wanted to give you guys a heads up on, unfortunately, we're going to take a couple of weeks off. So this will be our last episode for, I think we're going to take 2 weeks off. So we're going to miss the first 2 weeks of August. Kyle's traveling a lot. He's doing some vacation stuff. I've got some stuff to handle. You know how it is. You know, we appreciate you. We love you. But sometimes we have to go off and do other stuff. But rather than you be surprised at the last moment, I want to give you a heads up. So this will be our last episode for 2 weeks. We will be back on August 20th. So, yeah, you know, sorry about that, but wanted to give you the heads up. Thank you so much for listening. Spread the word. Ratings and reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen. And we appreciate you. We'll see you in a few weeks. Thanks, guys.
The Boogie Monster.
Network.